Have you heard he's risen?
Yes.
Have you heard he's risen? Pass it on. He's risen. Pass it on. He's risen. Pass it on.
Happy Easter.
He's risen. Pass it on. He's risen. He's risen. Pass it on. He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. Heistanapa. Have you heard he's risen? He's risen indeed. Please turn to your bulletins. Please rise. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead to bring everlasting hope, be with you all. Let's join in 365. Jesus Christ is risen today. Turn to the Litany of Thanksgiving in your bulletins. Thank you, our Father God, for the news of Easter.
We rejoice in the resurrection story of God.
We are humbled by the magnificence of new life.
And we ask for continual renewal of life, O Father.
For the joy that sprang from the grave, for the happiness that Jesus' friends felt when he recognized them and called them by name, and for the blessing of knowing him.
We give you thanks, O God.
Rekindle in us this Easter the faith you have so generously bestowed upon us through your Holy Spirit.
That our feelings, thoughts, words, and deeds may be directed by our trust in you, O Father.
Shower upon the whole earth, magnificent God, the resurrection news.
That even where people do not know your Son, he may
possible
in the minds and hearts of all people.
At this season of the year, when the best news of all is proclaimed again and again, let it especially be heard by those who are sick,
by those who are troubled in any way,
by those who are distressed in mind or spirit,
by those who are dying,
by those who are grieving for a loved one already called to triumphant life with you,
by all, Father, who in any way need even stronger reassurance that yours is the victory over everything that can possibly destroy us.
Reassure them and us that ours too is the same victory through Christ, whom we have accepted in faith.
Unto you, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we give praise and honor now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Every valley shall be lifted, every mountain be made low. Every valley shall be lifted, and the crooked be made whole.
Sound the trump, sound the trump, sound the trump, sound the trump, the glory of the Lord.
Reading for today is from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43. Peter's sermon, delivered at the home of Cornelius, a Roman army officer, sums up the essential message of Christianity. Everyone who believes in Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection fulfilled the words of the prophets, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The psalm for today is Psalm 118, 1-2 and 14-24. We will read the psalm responsibly, and where there is the bold R, please respond with the refrain, "This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel lesson on this Easter Sunday is found in the 24th chapter of St. Luke. Evidently expecting to find Jesus' corpse, some of his women followers go to the tomb with embalming spices. After a perplexing encounter with the empty tomb and angelic visitors, the women become the first to proclaim the amazing news of resurrection. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 619.
Bye.
Last verse. Let's sing the last verse.
Read to his name. He lifts my Savior till the same. He joined his blessed
Happy Easter to you all. What a great day. This is the best day in the whole year for me. I hope it is for you too. Did you notice how we cut four or five of those verses out? I didn't want you to have to sing all those verses and then not hear a sermon. In fact, when I was reading the gospel, I remember when I was in seminary, lo, those many years ago, in that one verse, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified? And on the third day, I mispronounced it. I said, "Rising in." Yeah, it's a great day. This is the best day of the year. I'm glad you're here. I'm not kidding. I mean, I just am so excited. In fact, this year I didn't wake up as early as I usually do. Usually I'm up at 3 o'clock. This year it was 3:30, so I must be mellowing out. I listened to the Lutheran Hour. The Missouri Synod Church has Lutheran Hour on CCO on Sunday mornings. And that guy used one of the same stories that I had found in all my papers. He told the story about Ruth Dillo, who received a phone call. Her son was in Desert Storm, 1991. Son named Clayton Carpenter. Pentagon called, tells Mrs. Dillo that her son had died, walked over a landmine. And she was inconsolable. She cried and cried, and people would comfort her and pat her on the back and try and give her hope and sat with her. And she cried and cried for 3 days until finally she got a phone call. And she said, and the phone call was her son. "Hi, Mom, it's me. I'm alive." And then she cried some more because she was so happy. She said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but I recognized his voice. I knew he was alive. My son, who once was dead, now lives." And she experienced the resurrection. She knew what Easter meant. A 2-year-old girl could hardly wait for Easter, so her mom bought her a new dress. Her father bought her new shoes. And the father was wondering if the girl, 2 years old, really knew what Easter meant. So he asked her, "Do you know what Easter means?" And she says, "Yes, I do." "Well, what does it mean then?" She goes like this, "Surprise!" It's a surprise, and it is a surprise. It is a surprise that the tomb is empty, that Jesus had promised this. It had been predicted through the ages, and it happened. Surprise. That's the clear reaction of the disciples and the closest friends, huh? And so today we read Luke's gospel. The disciples are distraught after the crucifixion. You get the picture? It's Friday. Jesus is crucified. They have to hurry his body off the cross, put him in a tomb, because at sundown on Friday is the Sabbath, and they've got all kinds of rules. It's also the Passover, so they've got to bury the body, take care of the body. So they go and put it in a tomb, dug into the side of a hill, a limestone hill. There's a preparation table. And then dug in this, so you go into this little cave, there's a preparation room, and dug into the holes in the cave are places where they would slide the body after they put ointment on and wrap it in different cloths and so on. They didn't have a time to wrap Jesus' body fully, so they lay him on this preparation table, cover him up. They go home, do their duty. They can't. There's laws about how far you can walk on the Sabbath. Sabbath is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. So then they go through the night, and then on Sunday morning, the women go to the tomb. And the women get there, and the big rock they had put in front so animals and people wouldn't go in, you know, is rolled away. And the women go in, and all they see are the cloths that they had wrapped Jesus' body in. And then these two angels are sitting there, and they ask, "Why do you seek the risen from the dead?" The Son of Man had been delivered over to the hands of sinners, do you remember? And he was crucified, and now he's living. Remember those? How he taught you that? And the women say, oh, yeah, yeah. And they come out of the tomb, and they really don't know what's happening. John, in the Gospel of John, in telling his story, focuses on his words on Mary Magdalene. Mary comes to the tomb, sees that the stone has been rolled away. She runs back and tells Simon Peter and John, the disciple who Jesus loves. She says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him. And evidently she thought that it had not occurred to her that Christ had been resurrected from the grave. So Peter and John go to the tomb, and then they see the angels. And then they believe he's alive. He's alive. Surprise! That's a surprise over and over and over again. And then Mary comes to the tomb when John and Peter are there, sees the same thing, and she starts crying. She thinks someone stole the body. And as she turns around, she sees the gardener. If you've taken the body, tell me where he is. And it happens to be Jesus standing there. And Jesus says one word. He says, calls her by name, says, Mary. And it's like, oh man, that's... And she says, Rabboni, teacher, surprise! You don't expect someone who's dead to be standing there talking to you. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Sir, if you carried him away, tell me now. So I can go get him and prepare him and take care of him. He says, Mary, surprise, I'm here. Wow, what a story. This is, this Easter story, if you read the Gospels, every story is different. Each writer talked to different witnesses, different people, and they tell a different story. But it's, so it's not really a carefully contrived story designed by Jesus' followers to convince us that something isn't so. Huh? The story of Easter is an honest reporting of what really happened. Easter is such an extraordinary day. No wonder people gather in such numbers all over the world to remember this day. The risen Christ, Jesus Christ, was dead and now he's alive. Pastor friend of mine traveled to Moscow the year that the Cold War was ended, 1991. And he was there when they were celebrating the first Easter. And the Christians that had come out of the woods, they had little house churches, and worshiped quietly because communists had declared God was dead. They could now, after the Cold War is over, they could celebrate. So they put this great big sign up, my pastor friend told me, that says, Christ is risen. And my pastor friend said, this was on Red Square in Moscow, and just, 50 yards away was Lenin's tomb. And if any of you been to Moscow, in Lenin's tomb, they've got this sarcophagus, but the top is glass, and they got Lenin laying in there. He said that he's starting to decay after all these years. But it seemed so strange to him that Christ would be alive, and Lenin, who declared God was dead, is dead there. Christ is alive, Lenin's dead, Stalin's dead, communism is dead, but Jesus Christ lives. Surprise! You got it wrong, boys! Chuck Colson, in his book, The Good Life, tells about Colson from Watergate fame. He was finally put in. Somehow he has this conversion story. I always wonder if it really happens, but I think the guy was really sincere. But I'm not the judge. That's between him and God, just as it is between you and God. He knows what's in your heart. He so knows what's in mine. But he wrote this story about a lawyer that he met. I don't know if he was inside or outside this lawyer, but this guy was the power broker of power brokers. He was a lawyer who had practiced over 40-year time, and he had represented people like Joe McCarthy and Jimmy Hoffa and Frank Sinatra and a number of senators and government officials through time. His name was Edward Bennett Williams. He says, although Williams was pretty quiet about it, he was a very deeply religious man. Every day he would go, he was Roman Catholic, would go and either have a mass or say his prayers. But then he was filled with cancer, and he was on his last legs. And his son found that in one of the big magazines that he had been named the power broker of the year. And so his son brings the magazine. Williams is on his deathbed. It says, "You've been named the super lawyer of the United States." And he said, "Forget about that. Those folks don't realize what power is. I'm about to see true power. Fighting death is selfish. It's time to go and see what real power is." And he died peacefully, as unshakable in his convictions about the resurrection as he ever had been. He believed in this resurrection more than any of his cases. He says, "I'm going to see what real power is all about." I think he probably had it true there. Paul's talked to a number of people of the crucifixion. 1 Corinthians 15, this is what Paul writes. It says, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James and all the apostles." Did you catch that? Paul is talking about a shared experience by Christians. 500 of Christians. The risen of Christ had appeared to all kinds of people. If one of them had said it was fake, he would have known about it. He would have heard about it. The tomb is empty. The body's missing. Even more importantly, hundreds of lives have been changed by His appearance, by His coming again. And millions have been changed since that time. So we hear this story, this Easter story again. And I think deep within our souls, the very Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that He's alive. Somehow we've got a glimpse that Jesus is alive. One last note here. I don't know, some of you have seen me early mornings. My best part of the day is early morning, and I love seeing the sunrise over the trees out there. So I'll go and sit in the fellowship hall and watch the sunrise, and I'll turn on some music. This week I turned on the Hallelujah Chorus. I've been listening to that. I was reading the information that came with the CD. Reminded me that George Frederick Handel had written this piece in 1751 when he was blind. And he wrote this Hallelujah Chorus when he was blind. And this Hallelujah Chorus part tells of the resurrection. And so I'm listening to this, and just like you come in and blast this thing to see what it feels like and sounds like in the sanctuary, I do that in the fellowship hall. I really crank it up. Thanks for putting that good system in there. Anyway, I'm listening to the Hallelujah Chorus, and I hear the basses. "And He shall reign forever and ever." And then the tenors. "And He shall reign forever." And then the altos. "And He shall reign." And the sopranos. "He shall reign forever." And it's just great. "Forever, forever." And then I get so cranked up that all of a sudden I'm hearing, "And He shall reign forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah." And then all of a sudden I start visioning all of these prophets. You know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they're singing in this heavenly court. That cover said that there were 500 voices, so it's just surrounding me. And I see all these prophets, and then I see all the disciples. And then I saw my grandma and grandpa in this, as the sun is rising, and I see all of these voices blended with all the angels, and I'm thinking, "Holy smokes! Holy smokes!" I mean, and I'm sweating and I'm excited. I can't hardly contain myself because He shall reign forever and ever. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, hallelujah. And I'm thinking, you know what? Handel, blind, but he could see. I once was blind, but now I see. I thought, you know, that's me, and I hope it's you too on this Easter morning. "For He shall reign forever and ever, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen." Let's join in singing our next hymn, 376. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gathered around Christ, crucified and risen, let us pray for the whole people of God, the earth, and all who cry out for healing. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Awaken the church, that it may boldly proclaim the new creation we celebrate on this Resurrection Day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Raise up political and civic leaders who will bring forth a springtime of care for the poor and the most vulnerable among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Deepen our reverence for the earth and all its creatures, that we may marvel at your works and rejoice at each new day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Draw to your heart all those weighted down by grief, illness, or anxiety, those absent or forgotten, those homebound or hospitalized. We pray especially you'll be with those who are nearest and closest to us. Send your holy angels to minister them and make them well. We pray that the light of Christ may shine upon them with hope. Lord, in your mercy, be known to us as we eat and drink at your table, that we may live as the risen body of Christ in the world. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you for this special day, this day of resurrection. Raise us up, O Lord. Fill us with joy and promise. Give us the power to make it through our struggles. And grant us smiles on our faces as we minister and care for each other. We give thanks for all the saints who have proclaimed the resurrection through their words, music, and art. May your creative spirit renew our lives with your beauty and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear us according to your steadfast love, O God. And in your great compassion, bring us to resurrection and rebirth in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn on this Easter morning, 367.
Triumph, he is living. Hallelujah.